Hey, Martin.
Hello.
Welcome to this episode of MTV Cribs with me, Laura Kress.
Are you going to give me a tour of your new flat? Is that the plan here?
Not quite. It's not quite ready, I would say, for a big tour. But it's getting there. It's getting there. I only just recently moved into this new flat, so there's still things that need to be added, and it's all unfurnished, so there's a lot going on, but most of it's unpacked and it's livable.
Hey, what more do you need
exactly
at home?
As long as no one ever sees it, it'd be fine.
Well, I'm actually coming down to see you in a couple of weeks.
Oh.
So I hope that you can get it looking a little respectable. Uh-oh. By then, because I demand the highest of standards.
A few weeks, you say? Oh, yeah. that might be a bit tight. But okay, we'll do our best. And the reason Martin is coming down to see me actually is Eurovision related, which is very exciting. But anyway, we'll talk about that a little bit later on this edition of Nullpoint.
Nullpoint is shameful.
Nullpoint is lack of respect for Euros.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
Shame that they must be feeling.
Nullpoint is no fun.
Yes, welcome along to Nullpoint. It's a Eurovision fan podcast. My name's Martin. That is Laura Kress. We are
Hello.
Two UK mates with a bit of a passion for the Eurovision Song Contest. We don't claim to know everything about it. In fact,
no.
we know diddly squat, which is why...
We know some things. Yes.
But we're trying to expand our knowledge and learn more. And that is where you come in. And hopefully we have lots of help along the way to find out more about the crazy world of Eurovision. Bit of an ABBA special for you this week, actually, on the podcast.
Again.
For lots and lots of reasons. Going to be talking to an ABBA super fan. Possible ABBA Eurovision co-production thing going on to tell you about. Trivia time is ABBA related. So lots on the way. But first, dun dun dun, those Americans, those Yanks are thinking of muscling in on Eurovision.
Oh, typical. Well, to be fair, I thought this would happen, really. And this is the news that the winner, you know, we've talked about this American Song Contest that's happening, which is going to be like the Eurovision, but it's coming to America. It's going to be all the states competing against each other in a Eurovision style. And now they're saying the winner of the American Song Contest may attend the Eurovision Song Contest in 2022, as they say, to bring the two contests closer together.
For me, this feels like a gateway drug to America.
Why are you always using that analogy?
Do you remember when Australia first performed in like the halftime show, and then they went, oh, we'll just let him in like as a little guest.
They're not going to be in it full time. Just a little guest.
Mm. Oh, by the way, they're going to be in it permanently. Right,
yeah.
Okay,
oh,
interesting.
No, look, America can't be in it permanently. That would be awful.
This is how it starts.
No, we don't want it, EBU. We don't want it. Well, anyway, this is what they said. I mean, it kind of makes sense. I mean, what that does mean, and I guess we kind of did know this, but that obviously the American Song Contest is going to be on and completed by May. Because that they would need to have that winner. It would be if they were like, oh, well, actually, the contest is after, so how are we going to do that? But we did know that it is starting in early 2022, but I didn't know if it was going to finish in time, because it's presumably going to be quite a long show. If they've got to go to all the states, get a winner from that state, then they've got to compete against all the other states and whittle it down. I don't know how long this thing is going to last, but clearly it's going to be done before May.
I think we need to catch up again, don't we, with our American correspondent, Sam Ross.
We should.
Just to see what's going on with the American Song Contest on the other side of the pond. So we'll do that in just a little bit. In the meantime, would you like a Eurovision sock?
I actually do have Eurovision socks, Martin.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do. I can try and find them if you want. The problem is, actually, I've got one. I can't find the other one. So I have got one Eurovision sock at the moment. I bought it in Tel Aviv.
Oh, did you?
It was one of the few things I could do in Tel Aviv, besides being ill.
Yes. Well, this is the news that Turin 2022 merch has been announced. And yes, you can buy Eurovision socks. You can buy, all sorts. You can buy a key ring. You can buy...
of course you can.
A Turin face mask.
Right. Okay. What does that just say? Eurovision 2022 Turin on it.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, there's some like bands that you can get, you know, those little, remember everybody used to have them for a while.
Yes.
Often they said, what would Jesus do on them?
Or other iterations of that, yes.
Yeah. And people used to wear those all the time. Well, they're back in style, according
in style.
To
Great.
The Eurovision Song Contest, because you can get that. So this is all the merch. So, I mean, I was going to ask you, would you get any Eurovision merch? But you've already got one sock.
And I've got a Eurovision magnet as well. I've got a magnet on my fridge magnet from Tel Aviv. So, yeah, I mean, I would like another sock, though. So because the one is useless. I'm a bit sad, actually. I don't know where the other one went to. And I'll be honest, it's in the back of my mind constantly is a sort of slight sadness that I can never find that other sock.
If you know of the whereabouts of Laura's poor lost sock,
then, or if you'd just like to send me one,
or if you'd like to send a poor sockless individual just
well,
one solitary sock. Now's the time.
How about the socks?
That's the time to get in touch.
I mean, technically, I'm not wearing them at the moment. I've got slippers on, but still, I do have socks. Let me just make that clear.
Thank you for the clarification.
Right, we've got to talk about ABBA this week, of course, because the album is out. There's been lots and lots of reviews out about it. I would say most of them fairly positive. The Guardian wrote quite a scathing review. I think their line was, "We don't thank you for the music," or something along that ilk. Let me see if I can find. I know it was a little bit harsh, I would say, on all ABBA. But yes. The album is out, and what's your take on it? Yes, no thank you for the music was what The Guardian went with.
Well, having heard a few of the singles that come from the album, for me it's a bit of a mixed picture. I think some of the there was one single that was really good and I really liked, and then there was one that was just a bit sort of weedy and made them sound a bit old, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
And I didn't really like. I like the one that goes, another me, another
That's Don't Shut Me Down. Yeah, I really like Don't Shut Me Down as well. I think that was, and I'll be honest, I think that's their strongest one on the album. I'm not sure about I Still Have Faith With You. I still have faith in you.
I still have faith in you. I'm old and withered.
I mean, they don't sing it like that. They do sing it in a normal way. I know they're old, Martin, but and they're getting holograms to perform for them. But it kind of lost me a bit. And that's how they kick off the album, don't they? I have to say it's not quite there for me. I really wanted to like, and the album is called Voyage, by the way. I really wanted to like it. There's one or two glimpses of ABBA brilliance, I think. But as a whole package, it doesn't quite work for me.
And your opinion is of no interest to ABBA at all. Because, they don't care. They don't care about you.
Okay.
They don't care,
I kind of knew that.
They don't care about you. They don't care about me. They don't care really about anyone. I watched an interview with the two ABBA lads.
Yes.
Who were basically saying, we don't have anything to prove here. And this is a fair point, isn't it? They say, if people think that we were better 40 years ago, fine, let them think that. We've got nothing to prove. We did this because we wanted to do it.
Well, I do think that, ABBA, so.
Well, if they don't care.
They don't give a toss.
They don't care
about you. It's like, why are you bothering then?
If they're not caring about you, maybe they will care about an ABBA super fan. I think we need to hear the thoughts of one. I think we do. Let me bring on Ruth McNeil, who's a friend of mine and a massive ABBA fan, an ABBA super fan. Ruth, great of you to come on the podcast. Can I just get an idea of just how big of a fan you actually are? Can you give me your ABBA super fan credentials?
Okay, credentials. So I remember watching them on 1974 broadcast from Brighton and winning the Eurovision Song Contest. And then I've been the world's biggest ABBA fan ever since. The songs, stories, melodies, harmonies, the genius songwriting of the boys, and it's just the blend of Frieda and Agnetha's voices that have just hooked me in for all these years.
Yeah, and you really are a proper super fan. I mean, how much merchandise do you have?
don't ask and don't tell my family. Okay. I'm sitting in a room now with you where I have posters, album covers framed, cushions. I'm actually wearing the latest Voyage sweater merchandise. And in the window of the front room of my house, there are four authentically ABBA dolls.
Okay, I think we've got your credentials as quite the ABBA fan. How excited then have you been about the news recently of the comeback and the tour and now the album?
Okay, so this is just a gift to us, and waiting 39, 40 years for new music has just been eclectic to all ABBA fans. And I think it just holds a mirror to the power of their bond, love, respect for each other, and they want to celebrate that. So I'm very happy to celebrate that with them and just accept it and look forward to what's to come.
How many times have you listened to the album so far?
Well, it was we were waiting for the midnight release, didn't do any of the spoilers, but then it popped up early. So it was 11:20 p.m. On the 4th. And then I probably did about, well, I had to pack it in to go to work, but actually about 6 hours constantly.
Wow. Okay. So you are very well placed then to give me your immediate thoughts on it. What do you think of it?
Obviously, I'm going to love it, aren't I? But critically, it's what we expected and then some. It's little miniature stories, little miniature comments about relationships. We've got even a Christmas one in there. We've got songs that just are pure ABBA with the vocals soaring up onto the highest registers, and you know the girls can still got it up there. So and then you get the heartbreak ones, and then you get the ones that are like, wow, this is a real anthem. And I keep changing my mind what my favorite one is at the moment, but I think I'd have to say the ones that just show the girls' vocals off in those siren like sounds. So my favorite is No Doubt About It at the moment.
You mentioned the kind of the anthemic ones. There's been a little bit of criticism, hasn't there, from some fans that it maybe wasn't quite like the old ABBA, you know, that there wasn't any standout songs that are going to be the next Waterloo. Do you think you heard the song that everybody will be singing for years and years to come?
Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, you get the one that the Don't Shut Me Down that arrived with the same ABBA-esque things that we expect. But the one that people are going to be singing is Keep an Eye on Dan. I mean, not only does Benny put the last few bars as a homage to SOS at the end of it, but that's the one that people are going to hook into. And these songs get under your skin. These songs get in your head. And then you realise just what the mastery and the genius is of the songwriting of Benny and Bjorn.
I want to talk a little bit about the ABBA Voyage announcement as well, because I know you're really excited to go and see that 42,000 times. But just before we do that, I wanted to talk a bit about 1974, because obviously this is a Eurovision podcast, and 1974, the year that ABBA won Eurovision, it really propelled them onto the world stage. How important was that for you, and do you think how important it was for music that that moment happened at Eurovision 1974?
So the 1974 was, I mean, they'd tried before to break onto the music scene, especially the British music scene. They looked at how people did. They took it very, very seriously, and they formulated their package, if you like, to win, to propel them into the music world. Being from Sweden, they weren't particularly well thought of at the time, but Bjorn himself, not that I've ever spoke to him, but Bjorn himself.
Yeah, said, it'll happen, Ruth, yeah. It'll happen, it's a matter of time.
Frida did send me a letter for my wedding, but there you go.
Oh, wow.
Bjorn did say they've no idea what made it so special. They just worked really hard on the song. It's got to be the song. And our Eurovision people need to listen to that. It's got to be the song, and then it's got to be the group. It's got to be the package. It's got to be the act. and the stars aligned for them, didn't it? And it was a long time after Waterloo that they actually found more than just being a one-hit wonder, found their credentials to the rest of the music critics waiting. It's a long time coming. It was 2 years after, because they thought that it would just be a one-hit wonder for Waterloo, and then here we are.
I didn't really realise that. I didn't realise it was so long after Waterloo. I just thought Waterloo happened and then they were just everywhere all the time. I didn't realise that there was that two-year hiatus while they were kind of getting themselves together.
You need to do a bit more research.
Clearly I don't know ABBA as much as Superfan Ruth. I think that's probably fair. Let's talk about ABBA Voyage very quickly then, because they're going to do this hologram thing, aren't they, where they're performing but they're not really performing, and there's this big kind of light show that's happening in London. What do you think about that as an idea?
Oh, well, I'll take it. It's a gift, isn't it? Again, it's going to be an experience like no other, just to be in the room, in the same room as people who feel as engaged and enthused by the joy of the music and coming together to celebrate that. I know they're not really there, but I do know that, this is the future, isn't it? Virtual motion capture. And why not use it to bring the joy of music to 3,000 people every night? This is what we need. This is a gift post what we've all been through as a world. Let's just take it and embrace it. And as for critics who say, oh, they shouldn't be doing it, why not? I'm going to be there, and I'll be there with lots of other people just sharing in the joy of that music. And the motion capture, yes, they spent 5 months in motion capture suits and body stockings, apparently performing for Swedish dinner ladies. So I'd have loved to have been one of those. But, you know, they've done it. They've prepared it. They've given us this gift. And there'll be a live band of 10 musicians on stage performing every night. And the group have performed it, sung it, danced it, moved it. But, you know, who expects them to be there every night, every single night? They deserve a rest and just to sit back and hopefully watch the fans just enjoy the gift they've given us.
And watch the money roll in.
Well, it's not about the money, is it? It doesn't have to be about the money. I don't think it has to be. Benny said it's nice, but they roll it back into us. They've given us the ABBA Museum. They've given us hotels. They've given us all the sorts of things that you can enjoy with your families. And my family, I'm taking my family. We're all going. So, you know, they've given us, it's a full circle, and it's there for you to enjoy. And I hope people do enjoy it.
Well, I better let you go, because you need to listen to the album for another 500 times, don't you?
I will be.
Thanks, Ruth.
Okay, thanks, Martin. Bye.
Right, so along with the news about the album, of course, it wouldn't be an episode of No Poir without someone else throwing their hat into the ring to write a song for the UK for Eurovision. And guess what? ABBA have said they'd consider writing a Eurovision song for the UK, saying, what's the risk? You can't be worse than last. I mean, they've got a fair point.
What have they got to lose? They don't care anymore, do they?
They don't care
anymore. They're just
they're
like,
checked out.
We'll
they're
write
like, whatever.
It, whatever.
Whatever.
Eurovision, yeah, won it once, whatever.
Got nothing to prove. Which is a great attitude to have, I guess. This is when they were talking to BBC Breakfast, and they were having a chat, obviously, about the new album. Then they were asked, if you were asked nicely, would you ever consider writing the UK entry? Bjorn, a bit sceptical. Benny was intrigued and said, what's the risk? You can't be worse than last. And then Bjorn said, no, but it needs to be a really good act. So Bjorn taking a little bit more seriously there. But there you go. What I will say is, as well, now that I have moved, hopefully at some point I'll have a bit more time. At some point, I don't know when that's going to be, but we will continue making our Eurovision song, because we had, put the foot off the throttle a little bit. The foot off the throttle, that's not the right phrase, is it? Do you put your foot on the throttle?
Yes, you do. Yeah.
Yeah, you do.
We've been putting it on the brakes quite a lot recently.
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
The throttle.
It should be on the throttle. It's very much on the brakes or just on nothing. But yes, we definitely will be getting back to doing that, because, you know, we had some great help there. And I feel like we need to make something, even if it's just a verse or the chorus or something. It'd be nice to have something to show. So move aside, ABBA. We don't need your help. We will be doing it.
They want Dua Lipa, don't they, to do it?
They do.
She doesn't want
yes.
to do it. She's not available. She's already ruled herself out, basically, isn't she?
Yeah, she has, bless her. Now, this is just, I forgot to mention this last time when we were talking about the fact that TAP Management, who manage Dua Lipa, are going to be working with the BBC to come up with a Eurovision act. Do you remember, Martin, many episodes ago, and this is just proof of how good we are at predicting Eurovision trends. I said in an episode, if Dua Lipa were to sing for the UK entry for Eurovision, I would walk naked through the streets of London. Do you remember that?
Do you know what? It is ringing a bell. And now, please, Dua,
no.
Come on, do it.
Because I was like, there is no way, Dua. And now it's getting slightly more likely and I'm a bit concerned. So, Dua Lipa, please stay back, ignore ABBA, do not take part in the UK entry. And if you want to listen to that episode again, I think it was called Laura's Dua Dare or something
it,
like that.
It was.
Yeah. Listen back to that episode where I am very adamant that Dua Lipa will not perform for the UK. And if she did, some people would be very upset at the sight they'd see.
Absolutely. Now, speaking of ABBA, as we have been all episode, really, it's been a bit of an ABBA special. So I thought I would bring you some ABBA facts that I bet you didn't know for this week's Trivia Time.
Lovely stuff. Go on then.
Yeah, this is the bit of the podcast where we give you some random facts about the Eurovision Song Contest, but this time they are ABBA related. Now, you probably know I'll get these facts out of the way first because you probably know these already. You probably know that when ABBA won Eurovision with Waterloo in 1974, the UK gave them nil points. That's a fairly well-known fact that nobody knew, if you see what I mean. It's one of those ones that everyone actually does know. ABBA was the first act from Sweden to win the Eurovision Song Contest. That you probably know, but do you know this about ABBA? Before they were ABBA, they were actually known as Festfolk, the party people.
Oh. Festfolk, the party people.
Yeah, Festfolk, it basically means the party people.
Oh, right, sorry. I thought they were called Festfolk, the party people. I was like, well, that's a very long name for a band. No wonder they changed it to ABBA.
Festfolk, they were known as. Right. And they actually had to get permission to use the name ABBA because they decided to change themselves to ABBA, which is obviously their initials. But they needed to get permission from a seafood company called ABBA. But a lot of people think it was the other way around. A lot of people think the seafood company came second, and they went to ABBA and said, can we call ourselves ABBA? No, ABBA was sort of named in a way after a seafood company called ABBA. And the final fact that I have for you in this trivia time about ABBA, and this one astounded me when I heard about it. Did you know, Cressy, that ABBA is not completely Swedish?
Oh, no, I didn't know that. Go on.
Lots of people think that ABBA is Swedish through and through. They are quintessentially Swedish. Not completely true, because Annie Fried was born in November of 1945. But where was she born? Not Sweden, but Norway.
Oh.
Bjorkason in Norway. She did actually grow up in Sweden. She didn't really spend very much time in Norway, but she is technically Norwegian, and I imagine if you go to any Norwegian and say, you know, the Swedish band ABBA, they'd go, ah, well, technically, there is a quarter Norwegian if you actually look at it. So I didn't know that, and I thought that's a really interesting little fact.
Can I give you an extra ABBA Eurovision-related fact? You
of
might know this,
can.
Actually. But did you know that 1974 and Waterloo was not the first time that ABBA tried to represent Sweden in Eurovision?
I did know that, but I can't tell you any more details than that.
Well, basically, the first time they tried to represent Sweden, they took part in Melody Festival in 1973, so the year before Waterloo and all that greatness that came from it. They entered Melody Festival, but they didn't make it through. They came third. So imagine if they had stopped there, what would have happened to ABBA? Can you imagine? We might have had a world without ABBA if they'd not tried that second time with Waterloo the year after. If they'd just gone, oh, we came third, let's leave it at that. Imagine how different the world would be.
And this whole podcast would have been about a seafood company. So what a strange world we would have been in. That's what would have happened. Thank you very much for this particular edition of Trivia Time.
I don't think that's how it works, Martin. But thank you very much for that trivia time. And as always, I just like to add a little extra bit on as well. But yes, thank you as well to everyone who's been getting in touch with us over the week. We had lots of questions for you. By the way, how was your eye test, Martin? Was it all right?
I haven't had it yet.
You haven't had it yet?
No. I'm having it on Monday. So the next time we speak, I will have had it.
I'll ask you about it then. Hope it goes well. That was one of the questions we had about have you ever fainted at an optician's? That was one of the questions we asked. But thank you very much to Luke, who got in contact with us with a lovely email. Thank you so much. Just saying, I thought I'd drop you a message, partly because I want to shout out to count towards my 15 minutes of fame. Here it is, Luke. We're all apparently entitled to, but also because I love listening to Norpoir. Thank you so much, Luke. He says, your happy vibes always bring a smile to my Sunday's douze-poir from me. Thank you, Luke.
Thank you.
He continues to say, Senit should totally host Eurovision. I thought her video on Friday was a genuine audition video, not just a kind of joke video. And he'd also mentioned what he'd like to see in a Eurovision museum. And he said the massive trumpets from, obviously, from James Newman and Embers. He said,
they would be great at the entrance, wouldn't they?
The big, huge trumpets, and maybe you walk under them as an arch, saying, I seem to be in a bit of a minority, but I actually liked them. My main issue was the choreography. I think I would agree with that, to be fair, Luke. I think the choreography and just the singer as well wasn't the best. But he does say, have a great week, stay safe, and all the best to Martin at the opticians. Thank you so much for that, Luke. We really appreciate it. That was really lovely to receive and read.
Yeah, thank you, Luke. And just to let you know, I have been and done a scouting mission of the opticians.
Oh my God, are you kidding me?
No, I went in.
Oh, this is so sad, Martin.
Just checked it out, right? I want to know the escape routes. And I said to them, as there was nobody in, and I said, just to let you know, I've got this optician's appointment booked. Can I just tell you that I might faint at it? And they've doubled me up. So they've given me a double appointment.
Oh, so much nicer than the other opticians.
Yeah, they better not charge me double, otherwise.
Well, I was going to say, that might be the... that's what they'll be like, oh, great, we'll book you in twice. We'll find out about Martin's adventures with the opticians next week, I guess. But thank you again, Luke, for that message. And if you, like Luke, want to get in touch with us, let us know. What we'd really like to hear from you this week is your thoughts on the ABBA album. Did you like it? Were you like The Guardian, who said no thank you for the music? We want to hear your thoughts, so you can get in touch with us loads of ways. Email us like Luke did at nullpoirpodcast@gmail.com. We love to get your emails. Really, really great. Or you could just tweet us at @poirnull on Twitter. We're also on Instagram, nullpoirpodcast. And I need to do some more updates on that, but I will be doing that this week. But thank you so much for everyone getting in touch with us. We love to hear your opinions on these kind of things. And yeah, just if you like the podcast, can I also say, give us a high rating, give us a 5-star rating, give us a review on iTunes and all those good things. Subscribe to us. We're normally out on Sundays, but subscribe to us anyway and you'll see where we come out. And yeah, keep getting in touch and keep liking us is all I've got to say on that.
So you move into your new flat and yes. You're getting everything sorted and you're putting all your stuff up.
That's
and
right.
The first thing you do is you attach an A4 picture to your wall of what? What's that behind you?
Oh, yeah, that is the Purple Turtle Bar from Reading. My friend got me a hand-drawn picture of that for my birthday last year because it's just it's a great bar. It's an iconic bar in Reading where I used to live. But I've stuck it up there basically because I'm going to get a frame for it at some point. But otherwise, if I put it down somewhere, it's just going to bend. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
It's going to. The bar that you and I went to on the fateful probably. Night that we won't talk about.
Yes, it was actually. Was yes. It? Before the house party, it was that bar. Yeah.
We don't talk about that house party.
We didn't talk about that night. No.
Thank you for listening. Honestly, just don't go
honestly,
there.
Honestly, no. Don't go there at all.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Nul Poir. And we'll speak to you very, very soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Forgotten about that night.
I hadn't.